Welcome. So good to see you all here today. I have a cheering section over here. A bunch of my family has shown up this morning. Jim, you have a job. Make sure that they behave themselves. Once the heckling starts, remove them, please. Our scripture this morning. Can you just stand as I read it? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This is the word of the Lord. Have a seat. Thanks. So here's the scene. It's a windowless, dark, brick-walled gymnasium. My husband, Dan, is down there with a few other people setting up microphones and speakers, preparing for an all-school Christmas caroling event. And this had become a tradition in the school where I had taught for many years. Upstairs, over 300 elementary kids were filing in after recess, excitedly talking about singing with Mr. Bennett and this being the signal that Christmas break is here. I was in my classroom. Students were hanging up their coats and kicking off their boots before heading off to the bathroom so that we could get ready to head down to the gym for the caroling. A few of my students were sitting on the carpet, chatting with each other and waiting patiently, or not, for their friends to return so that we could settle in and head on down. And that's when it happened. The lights went out. Darkness. A power outage. You can imagine the chaos that ensued as the girls in the bathroom across the hallway began to scream, and all the kids that were in the hallway were hooting and hollering, and who even knows what was going on in the boys' room? I don't want to know. Nothing good. My teaching partner grabbed some safety candles and went into the girls' washroom, lit them for the girls. The male teacher down the hallway took his cell phone light and escorted all those little gentlemen back to the places that they belonged. It didn't take long for us to all realize that herding 300-plus kids down dark hallways into an even darker gym was likely going to play out rather poorly. We'll come back to that later. So I'm struck by how we take light, this ubiquitous and vital element, we take it so for granted until it's gone. Being plunged into darkness makes us appreciate and even crave light. And one of the main themes that we find in 1 John, which is the book that we're going to be looking at for the next number of weeks, is that of light. God is light. And as followers of Christ, light in our lives is evidence of a life well lived. John emphasizes God is light, and he emphasizes God is love. These are the two main themes that he circles around numerous times and comes back to over and over throughout 1 John. And each time he comes back to God is light or God is love, he gives us a little more perspective, a little more application, things that we can practically use in our life. I'd encourage you, 1 John isn't a big book, I'd encourage you, try to read it every day or at least a few times a week over the next number of weeks as we dive into this series. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. So in this passage, there are three movements. John offers us a proclamation, then he identifies a problem, and he gives us a path to a promise. And this is good news for all of us. So let's start with the proclamation. Verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. This statement does two things for us. It recognizes a history and a source for the message, and then it zeroes in and clearly proclaims the message. If we look back a few books in the New Testament and find the Gospel of John, we will see that there are many references there and other places in Scripture of the metaphor and the power of light. In John 8:12, Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John recognized the importance of Jesus' message, and here he brings it to the house churches and says, don't forget what Jesus said. And not only that, do something about it. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. A succinct, clear, uncomplicated, complete proclamation. And John is very direct, and he leaves no room for confusion. Notice, I'm a little bit of a language geek being a teacher, but notice that there is no article defining the noun light. It doesn't say God is a light or the light, but God is by very nature light. God is light. There's a sense of fullness, a purity, a complete shattering of the darkness with the presence of this light. He is the source, and in him there is no darkness at all. The writers of the Cambridge Commentary of the Bible suggest that there are only three statements in Scripture that indicate the nature of God, and all of them are given by John. So the first one is, God is spirit. John gives us that in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Then here in 1 John 1:5, he says, God is light. And then finally, God is love. That's in 1 John 4, verse 8. Where other writers point to God's actions or his attributes, John zeroes in on the nature of God, who God is. He is spirit. He is light. He is love. Think back for a moment to the Genesis, to Genesis and the creation account. In the first few verses of the Bible, we see that there is darkness. The earth is formless and empty. Darkness hovers over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God is over the waters. And then, the very first words that God speaks in Scripture are, "Let there..." He drew an immediate and complete distinction between light and darkness, chaos and order, emptiness and fulfillment. This picture of light breaking through darkness, made so clearly in this first act of creation, continues on in each day of creation in a rather rhythmic and poetic form. There was evening and there was morning the first day. There was evening and there was morning the second day. There was darkness and there was light the third day. This rhythm reminds us of the continual process and inbreaking of God giving and sustaining life, of light overcoming darkness. And this metaphor of light that we come to now in the New Testament holds such great power when we better understand that the Creator God is the very source of light, and he is by very nature light. So John proclaims clearly that God is light, but in that he also recognizes that there's a problem for us. We are weak and wavering people. Verse 6 states, if we claim to have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. John is telling us that we can't say we are children of light, but then live and walk in shades of gray. The difference between light and darkness, good and evil, is not measured in degrees, but it's definite and distinct and final. It's like an everyday normal light switch. You flick it on and it's on, you flick it off and it's off. That's our picture of light and life. If we think that we can blur the lines by stepping a little bit into our old darkened ways, and still be in the light, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is no longer in us. In John's day, there was as much confusion as there is today about what light and life were. People had all kinds of ideas about God, human existence, evil, good, light, and dark. And as John wrote to the house churches, he recognized that these converts to Christianity, many of whom were steeped in Greek and Roman tradition and belief systems, may have had misguided ideas about who God is and what he does. The prevalent belief systems were wrapped around deities who were either superhuman beings or dark mythical creatures, angry, vengeful, void of mercy and love. Think of Hera, for example. The myth goes that she was the goddess of marriage, and she was married to Zeus, and she couldn't control her rage. And her jealousy of her husband Zeus, who had many lovers, out of that jealousy, she struck one of his lovers, turned her into a hideous creature who devoured her young and the young of other lovers. This is the context to which these people were living. This is what they knew. John brought a completely different message. John brought a picture of a God of love and mercy, of light and life. Truly a new way of thinking for these converts. Or consider the Gnostics. They believe that to the truly enlightened person, all conduct is morally indifferent. It's kind of this to each his own kind of thinking. But this leaves the door open for us to say, my morality is individually determined. A personal set of guidelines that I won't impose on you, and if you have guidelines, don't bother imposing them on me, thank you very much. What about for us? What about for you? We too can be influenced by the culture and find ourselves believing the lie that it's okay for each of us to choose for ourselves what is right. But John pointed to Christ and the call to walk in light as Jesus did. This is a definitive call to a new way of living. Walking in light and walking in darkness are represented as very distinct and opposing actions. We are called to recognize God as light, as an answer to the darkness, to the emptiness, to the confusion in which we stumble. It's a call to consider both our thinking and our conduct, to make right choices based on the example of Christ. So I challenge you today and in the weeks ahead to be asking some hard questions of yourself. What are the areas of my life where there are shades of gray? Where am I blurring the lines a little between light and dark? Am I facing toward the light, or am I looking a little over my shoulder, or maybe even turned toward the darkness and away from the light? Walking in darkness is tough. John recognizes this. It's a problem for us to maintain. It's a problem for us because if we maintain worldly perspectives and try to determine goodness by ourselves and strive for holiness on our own, we will fail. Thankfully, John does not only proclaim this clear message and recognize the problem that we have, the struggle that we have to do this. He lays out a path and a promise. When we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Two benefits are promised when we walk in light. Did you hear them? Fellowship and purification. John tells us that when we walk in light, we have fellowship with one another. The very foundation of relationship with each other is based on a depth of relationship with God, that is, walking in light with him. This is the only way that we can have true fellowship with one another, that we can truly love one another. God's perfect example of perfect love can manifest itself in us when we are walking with him in light and in truth. loving one another, bearing with one another, being like-minded and unified. This is all evidence that we are in right relationship with God. This is that communion or community peace that we are promised when we are invited into his family to become children of light. We know God more fully when we know his people more fully, when we interact with his people, when we do life together. The triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, exists in community, and he doesn't expect us to exist on our own. We need each other. But what does that actually look like? So if we look ahead to 1 John 2, verses 9 to 11, John gives us a challenging example of what walking in the light might look like. Listen to this. Whoever says, "I am in the light," while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person, there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer walks in darkness and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. This is a little reminiscent of Jesus' teaching when he was on the mountainside with his disciples in Matthew 5. If you'll remember, he pointed to the law, and the law said, "Do not murder." That's not hard. Hopefully, I'm looking around this room, don't think there are any murderers here. We can do that, can't we? But Jesus, he didn't leave it there. He took it further. He made it real, and he said, "Don't even be angry with each other. Don't say, you fool, to a brother or sister. This is the way of light." Or take the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18. These two men are at the temple praying. Here's the Pharisee standing up, self-righteously saying, "Oh God, thank you that I'm not like those other people, those tax collectors, those evildoers. Look at me. I tithe my 10%. I fast. Am I looking a little gaunt?" What was the tax collector doing? He was on his knees. He was on his face on the ground saying, "God, I am nothing without you." Which of those two men was it that went home justified that day? Sorry, that is so real. Thank you, God. Little water. Glad I'm in a room full of other sinners. It's all good. So it's easy for us to look around, isn't it? And say, "Well, at least I'm not like this person or that person. At least I'm not a murderer. I don't swear or steal or whatever it is that you are using to justify yourself, make yourself look better than someone else." We tend to allow this darkness and these shades of gray to permeate our hearts and give us a false confidence that we're okay as long as we're just a little bit better than the next guy. We say, "Well, at least I'm not like that neighbor who waters on the wrong day, or that guy down the street who parties at night, or the person beside me with the tattoos and too many piercings, or that dad in the nursery with the out-of-control kid, or that teenager who seems more interested in her phone than anything else, or that old lady who drives way too slow." We do it, don't we? Continually comparing ourselves to others to try to make ourselves feel justified. Jesus doesn't allow for that kind of thinking. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, our perspectives change. Our hearts and our attitudes and our actions change. We can have true fellowship with this crazy, and as you remember, Kevin last week said we're odd, we're a weird bunch, this crazy, diverse group of people. We can love one another when we walk in the light. We can have fellowship with each other because it is Christ who cleanses us and unites us in love. He shows us this path of light. And so this takes us to the second promise. The end of verse 7 says, when we walk in light, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. What hope there is packed into those few words. This is the reality. We are a messed up bunch. We are a bunch of people that walk in darkness and we live in a messed up world. We will fail. We will stumble. We will mess up and damage relationships because of our selfishness and our lack of godly love. But, and my kids used to laugh about the buts in the Bible. But there is a promise given here. And the promise is that the blood of his son Jesus purifies us and cleanses us from all sin. It gives us such hope and such joy. When we allow God's light to penetrate, it both illuminates and eliminates our sin. Hear that again. It illuminates and eliminates our sin. The perfect and pure light shines into even the deep, dark places in our lives, brings our sin to light, and then shatters the darkness and the bondage. It allows us to be forgiven and cleansed. It purifies us and sets us free from all darkness and death. God does not leave us wallowing in grime and in darkness. When we choose to surrender to God and walk in his ways, we are washed, we are cleansed, white as snow, and we become beacons of light and life and love to others. So back to the story of the school carol sing. So what do you do with 300 plus kids and 50 plus staff who are all set to engage in an activity? Teachers aren't prepared for something else. What do you do when you're plunged into darkness? That would be smart. We walk in light as he is in light. And so that's exactly what we did. So instead of going down to the gym to sing, we bundled ourselves up again, boots, hats, coats, scarves. We filed outside into the light, into the sunshine. And there we were, hundreds of little feet stomping on the sidewalks and little voices singing at the top of their lungs. We sang and we sang and we sang, stopping at a few houses where curious neighbors, shocked by this presence of kids' voices, opened their doors or stood at the windows. We stopped and we sang to them. Then we moved along a little further to another house. And then the school down the street. You should have seen all the little faces peering out the window as these hundreds of kids filed by singing joy to the world. In retrospect, being plunged into darkness in this fire, in this power outage, was a gift. It forced us out into the light. We became light to one another and light to our neighborhood. What a blessing that is. And this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen.